Hi, good vach. This is Yisachar Wartel, and we are now marching on to Parshat Lechucha. I do want to mention that this shiur is sponsored for Refuah Shleimah of HaRav HaGaon Kamenetsky Shlita, Rav Shmuel ben Ita Etel. May he have a complete Refuah Shleimah and be very well for many years to come. The third pasuk of this week's parsha is probably one of the most famous phrases in Tanakh, certainly even more so probably in the non-Jewish world. And I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. The most obvious anomaly in the phrase is the fact that it actually uses two languages for curse, something that a lot of people don't pick up on. It says, right, by bracha, you know, there's only one word for bracha, right? Bracha is bracha, I guess. But there's at least three or four different terminologies for curse, and two of them are utilized here. Kuf Lamed Lamed and Aleph Resh. Says of Mekalecha Aor. So it's very interesting that, you know, only one language is used for bless and two are used for curse. Now, the Or HaChaim also points out, you know, as well, among others, that there's actually another difference. It says Mivarchecha, those who bless you, that's plural, right? Those plural who bless you. Whereas Mekalecha, the one who curses you, right? It's singular. The Or HaChaim also points out another difference, namely the inversions of the actions. First, Hashem says that he will bless. In other words, the response comes before the action. I will bless those who bless you. But in the subsequent clause, it says, Hashem says, the one who curses you, I shall curse. It's reflexive in the opposite way. It's constructed in the opposite manner. So he goes on to explain that even when one intends to bless, Hashem will already bless you. Just having the kavana to bless, even if the right words don't come out, whatever it is, but having the kavana to give a bracha, will be a bracha, right? Hashem will bless you even if you haven't actually been blessed yet or it doesn't necessarily come to fruition. But if you desire to curse someone, you will not, or a person will not actually be cursed until they actually pronounce the curse itself. Kind of like the idea the Chazal teach about a mitzvah nevera, that if you want to do a mitzvah, but you're unable to do the mitzvah for whatever reason, you're still given credit for the mitzvah, or at least partial credit, maybe full credit, I'm not sure. But if you want to do an Aveira and you try to do an Aveira, but for whatever reason you're prevented from doing so, you're not held liable for committing the Aveira. So, similar idea. There's a fundamental difference between a blessing and a curse. I'm sorry, many differences, but there's one fundamental difference I want to focus on. A true blessing is genuine. It comes from a place of sincerity. And therefore, wanting to do something for another person to bless, even if it ultimately does not manifest, the fact that you cared enough to connect to another individual, it's enough for Hashem to give a person a reward. The person came from a place of selflessness, and for that alone, is worth getting a mitzvah, getting zechus, getting schar. But a curse is not always heartfelt. Many times, a curse is not necessarily a deep connection with a person. No, sometimes something really horrible could have happened between two people, and that can happen. But often, people will curse out of anger or resentment or depression. And it's more flippant or casual in a certain sense. And therefore, Hashem does not necessarily hold one accountable for a curse unless one actually goes through with it. Now, the Or HaChaim explains the answer to our other question as follows. There are two types of blessings, and therefore two types of people who might bless you. There are outright blessings, and there are those blessings that are out of more what we'd call tough love. This is something which appears to be sometimes malicious or even one might think of as a curse. But a person who is saying it actually wishes to help the person, not harm them. That being said, we have to be extremely careful with our words, that sometimes even if we're trying to be helpful and we're trying to bless somebody to do the right thing, it may come out in a way which upsets somebody. So we have to, you know, we have to be very cognizant to be careful of people's feelings. But if we do so in a way that is just kind of more tough, and we really, really have sincere desire to help the person and to bless the person, Hashem can still give us reward. Certain times we may still need to ask mechila, depending on the situation, but either way, if we have the right intent, Hashem can still give us some reward. A real curse, a strong curse, is done with malice. And the only curse that Hashem exacts full retribution for is one that a person truly wishes another person harm, especially if it's premeditated. The Kliyakar mentions the difference in the languages for the curse, and the entire scope of the different words for curses is so incredibly deep. And as I said, there's three or four different languages for cursing. And we're not going to get into it right now because it's a huge topic, but it's interesting. But nevertheless, the Kli Yikar does point out the following. Just as we learn that a person is rewarded when he wants to do a mitzvah, he gets a mitzvah, but he's not punished for an avera. It's also true in the realm of any time that you are thinking something and it doesn't come into action, there is some importance that goes into the thought. And even if it's not necessarily that we are prevented from doing a mitzvah, but somehow we didn't get to it, but we really desired it at one point and then maybe we changed our mind, we still want to get some schar. We still get some schar. Now, obviously, we want to take the extra step to make sure that you do the action, but even if you don't go all the way, you still get some credit for it. But if you really, really wanted to wish somebody harm and you're thinking bad things, maybe you're putting bad energy out into the world, but you're not going to be punished for this until you actually pronounce the curse or do someone harm. And you do it out of malice. That's when Hashem will punish you a greater measure. Not only will you get somebody get a kwella, but they'll get an or, a roar, or they'll get an aleph resh resh, which is a severer degree. Because it's not only a negative thing that you're causing to somebody else, it's a disregard for another Selmokim, another Jew, and it's something that Hashem can't tolerate. Now, the Kli Yikar explains that a kwella is a general curse, and then there are several forms in which a curse can take place. However, an ara or arara is a comprehensive curse that includes all of the forms that a curse can take, and therefore it's a much more comprehensive curse. A person is punished measure for measure for what he intended, but added on is what the Kli Yikar refers to as the value of a person. If a person is a genuinely decent guy, but for this moment was evil, not much will be added. And Hashem will just give him a kala, mita k'neged mita. He wanted to give a kala, he gave a kala, and Hashem gave him a kala back. But if a person is generally a wicked, rotten, thoroughly wicked person, then Hashem will add a full measure and make it a roar. He'll make it a full comprehensive curse. So we see here the power of both blessings and curses, right? That even wanting to bestow good upon another person, even having some sincerity and a heartfelt connection to somebody is enough to create some level of blessing, even if it doesn't go through, even if you never utter those words, even if it's only in your mind or only in your heart. Hashem desires goodwill between people. And as we, obviously, there's many, many things we can physically do with the people in Klal Yisrael right now. Say Tehillim. That reminds me, I gotta say Tehillim. Say Tehillim, we give supplies. Some people are flying over to Israel. There's a lot of things we can do. Calling people, seeing how they're doing. There's a lot of things we can do. But even something as small as caring about other people and wishing them and hoping that they get bracha and that they're safe and that they have good circumstances around them and that everything goes well, even that carries some weight and Hashem appreciates the fact that you care. Whether it's enough, that's a different story, don't know. But it's not meaningless. We want to keep that in mind. So may we always keep our brethren and other people in mind, and may we always at least think about blessing other people with the goodness that Hashem can bestow upon us. Wishing you all Shabbat Shalom.